The world is tough out there right now. The outlook is looking bleak. My heart aches for more. I can't get any sleep. Awake in my bed, I toss and turn, thinking of the future. Why can't society just learn to listen to more Robert Breed love? I need a Prince Charming to save me from my depression. A man whose full-time job is listening to Bitcoin podcasts. When we lay in bed at night, I want him to explain to me thermodynamics and whisper the things that he heard. Say, Lord, say romantically in my ear. I don't care if he has talent or money. All I care is he listens to Lynn Alden. As long as he has 1 million sats on his cold card, I know the future is secured. I want a house in Nashville with a white picket fence, a husband who never misses an episode of what Bitcoin did. With his superior knowledge of the way the world works, I will bring him lots of kids. I need a Prince Charming to save me from my depression. A man whose full-time job is listening to Bitcoin podcasts. When we lay in bed at night, I want him to explain to me thermodynamics and whisper the things that he heard. Say, Lord, say romantically in my ear. His YouTube feed will be filled with hopium. That way he will never be depressed. I need the security of someone who is bullish, even when the world is a mess. When I grow up, I will find this man, most likely at the conference in Nashville. My full-time podcast listener is out there waiting to ride off with me into the sunset. Fairy godmother, make this dream come true. If it's the last wish you grant me, oh, give me a reason to live. A man to lead me through hyper-Bitcoinization.
There's a new kind of podcast for Bitcoin maximalists that isn't just more of the same macro circle jerk promoted by PodConf. And there's one podcast that's dominating the charts. The Rock Paper Bitcoin Podcast with Fundamentals and Business Cat is that podcast. Listen as two non-compliant plebs from Pennsylvania talk about their lives, Bitcoin, and finding signal in a noisy world on Fountain FM, available on Android and iOS. And as always, make sure you boost them sats.
This 4th of July yielded record levels of non-compliance across the land. Instead of the founding fathers tossing in their graves, the rested in peace as Americans gathered to fill the skies with smoke of non-KYC cigarettes and non-KYC fireworks. How could you feel hopeless and demoralized when Americans are getting reconnected with their non-compliant heritage and rejecting PodConf? Even with Bitcoin going down, non-compliance is going up. The true metric to track is individual freedom, and we are winning, folks. Buckle up and enjoy the show.
You are listening to the Bugle Weekly, the most thermodynamically sound podcast in the game. Here are your hosts, Rod Palmer and Dick Greaser.
Welcome to the Bugle Weekly podcast. This is your host, Richard Greaser. Recovering from non-compliance month. Sorry the show is coming out a few days late. It came out late because I was so non-compliant this 4th of July that I got sick. Like, I overdosed on non-compliance, and so I was bedridden for about 72 hours. And, you know, due to excessive smoking of non-KYC cigarettes, I was able to recover from my deathbed and feel a lot better. But yeah, what's going on with you, Rod? How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm glad that the non-KYC cigarettes work for you. I've been reading on the message boards that the health boards, that cigarettes can kind of work almost as good as ivermectin for getting rid of viral infections. So I'm glad to see it seems like it worked for you. But I had a great 4th of July, super non-compliant. And I think one of the things I took away from this this holiday reflecting and celebrating non-compliance was, God damn, I am glad I am not a European. I'm glad I'm an American. We have freedom here. We're not turning into social commie countries. I used to give France a pass just because so many French people smoke cigarettes, but I can't give them a pass anymore. It's just terrible.
Well, yeah, it's pretty great to not be a European. It's, you know, the amount of coke that Peter McCormick has on a regular basis is pretty incredible. He, you know, his response to the 4th of July and, you know, American Non-Compliance Day was to try and say that the UK doesn't have a deep state.
I know that. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, he was trying to explain to Svetsky, a fellow funny talker. I mean, it's just like, and not only would it be bad to be European, but could you imagine being from one of these countries like Australia that never became non-compliant with the crown?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're on the other side of the world almost, and you're surrounded by the best, you know, natural defense, the ocean. You're surrounded by it, and you didn't rebel at all. Come on. That's couldn't be me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just like, you know, there, and this is the contrast that you get with the Bugle Weekly podcast compared to Peter's podcast, is Peter had a cope show with Svetsky, you know, where Svetsky was talking about, like, how women shouldn't be allowed to smoke. They should, you know, be forced to stay at home and, you know, make sandwiches, which, you know, I'm all for, as long as it's, you know, kind of a voluntary arrangement. But, like, yeah, I mean, Svetsky was on Peter's show essentially shilling King Charles, saying that Charles is a good leader.
And yeah, you know, I'm a little bit conservative myself, so while I would never ban my wife from smoking, I think that, at least in my household growing up, my father bought, you know, he would save the last inch of the cigarette. He would let my mom smoke cigarette butts. So I think a healthy marriage, you should at least let your wife smoke her cigarette butts.
At bare minimum. I mean, I think, like, a good husband is a provider, you know, for the family. And part right, of that, like, part of providing is offering a ton of non-KYC cigarettes to, you know, your spouse.
Right. I mean, I understand. You don't want your wife out
maybe,
in public.
Maybe this is just, it's one of those, one of the impacts of, the sinister impacts of fiat, which is that, you know, people in their coping with how poor things are financially in the fiat world, they're saying that, you know, women, it's kind of like the reverse of, you know, the psyop that women need to be in the workforce.
Right.
They need to be taxpayers. They need to operate in the KYC economy.
Right. I agree with Jordan Peterson that, you know, you don't want your wife out in public and everybody in the community sees her smoking menthol cigarettes. Like, that's embarrassing. Like, man, in the privacy of your home, in your bedroom, even, being able to smoke your Marlboro Red cigarette butts. I just, we have to have some decency.
How do you think America did as far as non-compliance this 4th of July?
Well, this is the first time that I can remember where everybody was posting derogatory non-compliant memes about the president. I don't think that it's a coincidence that, this is all kind of peaking around 4th of July. I think it's summertime. We're all in a very non-compliant attitude, non-compliant, just feeling vibe, so to speak. And now we're making fun of the president, calling him retarded and saying that he's too stupid and everybody wants him to quit. We want the president to quit. And I can't think of the last time all of the, most of the country was all, tweeting at the president to go to delete his account, so to speak.
Yeah. I think probably the last time was George Bush.
And Twitter wasn't big enough back then to really share those memes.
No, the meme culture wasn't, the infrastructure just wasn't as developed. I mean, there weren't open source meme creation platforms like GIMP that existed.
Right.
Everything was closed source. I mean, CNN was the chief meme maker in the U.S. It was really a dark time in American history.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, Fox News, it's all we had, right? There's a lot of our boomer parents. They still love the Fox News memes, and they're really popular, on Facebook, but those aren't good enough. Those aren't enough to take down a presidency.
Definitely. Well, I think America did pretty well. I had people all over the country DMing me, telling me about their first experience in purchasing non-KYC cigarettes using the Lightning Network. That was very exciting to see. It just seemed like it seemed like things were moving in a positive direction. One of the complaints that I do have, one of the things that made me feel a little bit frustrated was that Alex B. guy over at Ordinals Magazine, he tried to make it less about the Lightning Network and more about eCash, which is just another, it's like the off-brand version of custodial Lightning.
Yeah, I like it.
Yes, you can use that as a way
of smoking.
Yeah. You can use it as a way to acquire non-KYC cigarettes, but the network just isn't built out enough to where it makes sense. There's not enough wallets supporting it. And so for the time being, the custodial Lightning route is the way to go, in my opinion. For non-KYC cigarettes. I mean, you could use a fully custodial solution. I was using Zeus Wallet to conduct my transactions personally.
Yeah, like I was saying, I didn't mean to step on you there, but it's, to me, eCash is the clove cigarette of smoking. But it also made me think about, being able to help your son. Maybe he's in first or second grade, maybe helping him buy his first non-KYC cigarette with custodial Lightning. I think that's just a really powerful bonding experience that I hope to have with my son someday when he's old enough to use Lightning.
I know that would be a great day when that happens. But yeah, I mean, I think the important lesson is we're a few days after the 4th, and I think it's important to carry the momentum forward, this non-compliant momentum, to say, the 4th of July is, it could be every day could be non-compliance day. Not to try and take away from the 4th of July, which is kind of like a rallying cry, but it's almost like a New Year's resolution. Like every 4th, commit to one new way of being non-compliant going forward.
Yeah. People say live like you were dying. And I think that's good advice. Like if you had 10 days to live, how compliant would you be? Well, you can be that non-compliant every day. What's stopping you?
Well, one of the stories that I wanted to get into right off the bat, which I think is pretty important, is Cornicarus over at Pleb Underground is leading. It's looking like he's kind of taking up the mantle, kind of like Martin Luther did. He's taking a stand against PodConf support of El Salvador.
This is interesting. Yeah, what's he doing down there? What's going on?
Well, he stated on Twitter, and I'm unprepared and didn't have it pulled up. I had it up here.
Well, I mean, I'm paraphrasing him, but he said it's stop acting like Bitcoin is, like, or El Salvador is the Bitcoin holy land. It's pathetic. It's fucking pathetic.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good summary of what you said. I just found it.
What was that in response to? Do you know?
I think he's sick and tired of all the. I mean, I think probably part of what it is. So he tweeted this on the 7th. It was a few days after the 4th. I think he really saw the importance of Noncompliance Day, and what Bukele is doing is he's eradicating non-compliance in this country, and you know how that contradicts a lot of the core ethos of what many of the early users of Bitcoin were talking about and promoting. It's kind of hard to reconcile and support that, being a rational, you know, non-compliant human being.
Right, just because, I mean, think about if Americans did this, you know, thought the same way about the United States, or people just in general thought the same about the United States as they do for El Salvador, just because El Salvador has Bitcoin. Well, America has a lot of Bitcoin too. And that doesn't mean the government, you know, and that the president is good and that we should comply with the government. I mean, that's, it's just because the marketing is friendly. Like it doesn't make sense. Why would you fall for that?
Yeah. I mean, I just think a lot of the, you know, the Bitcoin plebs, they just still haven't seen what PodConf is, and they just kind of fall for it, and they're, you know, whatever the new meme is, whether it's, you know, volcano bonds, and like we saw this with the Protestant Revolution, you know, what that was there was a market developed for a differing school of thought, because the Catholic Church has such control over the information channels. And like one of the things that led to the Protestant Reformation was the ability to spread information through the printing press. And today what we're seeing with shows like Pleb Underground and just the general intellectual Silk Road is that it's really fracturing PodConf's control over the, you know, all the different influencers in the industry. And, you know, Philip appears to be fracturing from it in the same way that Martin Luther fractured from the Catholic Church.
Right. Like, you, now you have the ability to share information and value for value transactions peer to peer in a decentralized fashion. And now that you have that ability, you know, it's, you don't have to be a simp for the state. You don't have to be a simp for the local power structure, the authority. You don't have to be a simp for your church. You don't have to be a simp for anybody. You can be a sovereign. And why not start living that way?
Yeah. Yeah. And so like he put out a few demands. Or what, you know, people are calling his thesis.
21 thesis?
Yeah. And I'll read a few of them. He doesn't like Chivo wallet as being the, you know, the sanctioned wallet of Bitcoiners. He doesn't believe that River should be the sole Lightning service provider for everybody, for custodial Lightning. And he believes that, you know, plebs can, you know, allow other influencers to do the thinking for them and not just Max Kaiser and Bukele and Ocean and, you know, all of these other individuals that kind of fall under the Bukele wing of Podkov.
Right. You should be able to or be orange pilled by any podcaster of your choice. You shouldn't just be a Max Kaiser approved, Podkov approved, you know, like a cardinal of information. You should be able to listen to any podcast or any podcast you want and start your own podcast unit and share that information and orange pill your listeners, orange pill your followers, and they can send you 10% of their income in sats for Boosts on Fountain to support you and to support your podcast. It doesn't have to be Podcom for proof.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I really like that people are comparing this to the Protestant Revolution because, you know, the Protestants obviously do Christianity correctly compared to all the other, you know, factions of it. Like,
right, it's the only non-compliant form of Christianity.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's the American version of Christianity,
right,
because of its roots in non-compliance.
Yeah, and the Catholic Church sent its red coats, so to speak, to try to attack and to prevent these nodes from breaking off and being decentralized, but they lost.
And I think in the same way, Podkov's going to fail in protecting their doctrine as well.
Yeah, it wouldn't be possible if you weren't able to tie to your favorite podcast, Sats on Fountain, or through Lightning wallets. But now you can do that peer to peer. And this is how these decentralized, you know, nodes, these federations, that's how they'll survive without Podkov.
So, you know, who are the other Lightning service providers that you think are noteworthy that can replace River as being kind of the sole liquidity provider for Chiva Wallet?
Well, there's a lot of people interested in it. I think that every time I've been to El Salvador, Cash App is branding is everywhere. Stripe, Jack Mallers, Stripe Company, their branding is everywhere, and they have big Lightning liquidity providers with, you know, a lot of node connections, a lot of tied up capital to support those networks. And I think they would love to get their hands on the El Salvador government's official Lightning channel.
Yeah.
The European ones too, but I think the ones on the ground are Cash App and Strike.
Yeah, I wonder if they could. I doubt that El Salvador has any interest in this. Like, you know, one of the benefits of using a sole Lightning service provider like River in the country for the state-sanctioned custodial Lightning wallet is the ability to easily crush non-compliance, and the more LSPs there are, the more room for non-compliance there is. It's just more effort it is, more ground that needs to be covered.
I think River has a hold on it for now, but if El Salvador wants to go the compliance route instead of, you know, and really bolster their strength, There's a dog horse in the race, and it's Bitfinex. Bitfinex has a huge Lightning wallet, and they have a dark but seemingly close relationship with the El Salvador government. It means Tether is always lurking in the distance.
Yeah. I mean, Tether definitely has some pretty deep roots to Podkov. There's some deep connections going back and forth there that should be concerning to the average individual. When they see Bitfinex, when they see Tether, they should be, you know, concerned, okay, Podkov is about to try and, you know, come in and dictate a narrative.
Right, they want somebody to buy the volcano bonds.
It's a very exciting story to watch. I'm going to watch it closely, and I think it's important, you know, for people out there to, you know, give props to Quinn Icarus And what he's doing is very brave. It's not easy to go up against Podkov narratives.
Can you talk a little bit about who Twin Icarus is for people who might not know?
Twin Icarus is
Does he have a spaces that he daily spaces that people could listen to or a podcast?
I don't think I don't know about Twitter spaces. I know he is active in them. I haven't really followed the spaces as closely as you have, but I know Twin Icarus has a show called Pleb Underground on YouTube.
That's right. Yeah, it looks like he has a weekly spaces, a weekday spaces in the morning. It's called hashtag GM Bitcoin. So good morning, hashtag good morning. It looks like he's a co-host frequently in that spaces.
So do you think Twitter spaces are kind of the, this is where, you know, these kind of revolutionary ideas and concepts are coming from in the Bitcoin space? Like, they, you know, they'll come and listen to the Bugle Weekly podcast and then they'll espouse our ideas on the spaces.
Oh yeah, I think used to be until a couple of years ago, there was a term for it. It's called the water cooler, and they called it water cooler conversation. So you'd stand by the water cooler and other coworkers and colleagues would come get a glass of water, a cup of water, and you guys would just chit chat, make small talk. And it sucked because if you didn't have cool coworkers and, you know, you didn't have like smoke breaks that you could take because you didn't have a cool job, you know, you had to talk about the girl from accounting in her CrossFit class, or she trying to sell you some pyramid scheme thing she found out about on Facebook. But now a lot of us work from home. And even if you don't work from home, you can put in your headphones at work and you can listen to a weekday morning spaces, and you can talk to other plebs and other non-compliant Bitcoiners, and you can debate macroeconomics, you know, memes, anything you want. And you can even talk revolutionary ideas. And I think that's where a lot of that revolutionary discussion, back in the Revolutionary War times, it was, the taverns. People would gather in the taverns, they'd drink beer, and they would rail about paying taxes. But now it's on Twitter spaces.
Yeah. Twitter spaces, you know, appear to be kind of that bastion of freedom where the revolution is happening. And what's incredible about it is there seems to be kind of a concerted effort by the plebs to completely invalidate Podkov's, you know, attempt to control over the Twitter space ecosystem. So whenever Podkov launches a new morning Twitter spaces, you know, it's almost like 100 will spring up in opposition to it.
Right, in the competition for scarce attention from people who, you know, are trying to avoid thinking about their 9-to-5 job. You only have so many options. And if the person who you think posts the funniest Bitcoin memes, or, you know, somebody who you really look up to, like Neil Jacobs, if they're in a spaces in the morning and you see that at the top of your timeline, that's going to catch your attention. But there's only a couple of inches at the top of your Twitter timeline where you can show you how many spaces are concurrently running. And if you don't make the top three, you know, people may not, it's like not being on the first page of Google results. Like if you can crowd out Podkov, spaces, the little logos in that 3 or 4 inches at the top of your timeline, you can completely censor them.
What started as an idea has blossomed into a revolution. Like a cypherpunk mailing list evolving into an omnipresent secret society, available to all free men, where no UTXOs can be blacklisted, and no idea is too non-compliant. A value-for-value community with its own Nostr integration and its own beefsteaks. The intellectual Silk Road is that revolution. Are you ready for the next stage in your value for value journey? Join the intellectual Silk Road.
I think this is one of the, you know, the tactics that I think's important for the dissident pleb to understand, you know, that's joining us in the PodConf, the battle against PodConf control, is that you do have the ability to influence the influencers, and your Twitter space will perform much better, you know, when the influencers show up, because what happens is, you know, these individuals with these, you know, verified accounts that pay Elon, you know, the Twitter tax, or maybe Twitter toll is a better term for it, they get more promotion. And that's why, you know, I think I get a notification like every time Terrence Yang is speaking in the space.
Oh yeah, and one way you can use this against them, you know, is they are paying that Twitter toll, but there's an old saying, you gotta pay the troll toll as well. So you can troll influencers who are verified, and when they respond to you or they retweet you to try to dunk on you to get more likes than you, that is your platform, and that allows you to get more followers. And the more followers you have, the better you can resist their ratio. It's a simple defense.
I almost wonder if we should do like a weekly segment talking about tactics for the dissident pleb.
Yeah, like a cypherpunk cookbook or something, where you can troll the influencers and use their incentives and use their vanity to your advantage.
I think one of the number one tactics is to point out, and this is part of the civil defense, is to point out how many Twitter followers that they bought. And I know Elon, you know, is making this, you know, more difficult to verify, but you could still kind of come to conclusions. And, you know, when you point it out, when you question their proof of work, I know that really gets under their skin. And so that's a very quick way to
question their proof of work, question their incentives, point out a very, you know, pedantic, incorrect point that they made, drives them nuts. But as you said, Elon Musk is making it harder, and, you know, they didn't win the war, but they won a battle. Making likes private, you know, it was a known tactic. Like Dan Held would like his own tweets and like his own memes, and he still does, but you no longer can prove it. You can no longer look and see if they're liking their own tweets to boost themselves in the algorithm, but you can assume they are.
Yeah.
But that is, you can do it too.
I mean, we should definitely troll, you know, Dennis Porter, you know, he's been doing a lot of work to orange pill the politicians and make sure that we all have the right to self-custody. Or at least are given permission to have that right, you know, regardless of, you know, whether or not anybody says that we can or can't do it. I think we, you know, still can non-compliantly do it. We have the right to be non-compliant, if we choose. But it'd be interesting to troll Dennis, you know, and try to get him to focus on protecting plebs' memes. And you know, coming up with some sort of legislation against meme theft.
Ryan, I don't know if anybody saw, but Dennis just got, in conjunction with Bitcoin Ordinals magazine, they just got the right to self-custody added to the Republican Party platform. And if they got that, Dennis and Ordinals magazine, if they truly care about the little guy, like they say they do, they should also get, you know, copywriting to memes, so people like Dan Held, you know, can't steal plebs memes. That should be in the Republican Party platform.
I agree. I mean, that'd be a very revolutionary. That'd be revolutionary. I mean, like all the focus on IP has always been about the corporation. It's never been about the pleb. The plebs memes have always been putting out the best content outside of the credentialed journalists, of course. and there's nobody focusing on protecting their hard work. It's all directed at, you know, the big corporations and the music industry, you know, Hollywood. And it's time to focus on the plebs and protect the plebs and restore some sort of sense of law and order into the world of internet memes.
Right. Podhoff is getting rich by exploiting the creative labor of plebs.
Yeah. I can see this being a, you know, major issue discussed in the next presidential debate. You know, it was great the last debate to hear Donald Trump say so many nice things about Bitcoin. I'd like to hear him talk about the Bitcoin pleb.
Yeah, he said a lot of nice things about Bitcoin, but I want to hear him talk about or say nice things about how he will protect Bitcoiner plebs especially.
I mean, one thing that would be really cool is for some sort of subsidy to support the development of open source meme platforms like GIMP. That would be fundamental in protecting, you know, because there's all these subsidies directed at corporations and you know, even media companies. Like we don't get those types of subsidies.
Think about a huge political strategic move. I mean, Republicans could flip California red for the first time in decades. You know, if Donald Trump offered home miners in California with subsidies for their energy costs, I mean, you're paying 50 cents a kilowatt hour in San Francisco or Los Angeles. But if you get subsidy from the government, from the, you know, the Republican Trump administration, and you get that, you get your costs, your electricity costs down to like 10 cents per kilowatt hour, that's a game changer.
Yeah, I bet that would get Adam at Upstream pretty excited. I know. I mean, you could divert all the money from electric cars and solar panels and subsidizing activities like that into subsidizing home miners.
Yeah, you wouldn't even have to. Yeah, it would be neutral to the deficit. You could spend a billion, you know, billions of dollars supporting plant home miners and not even, you know, add to the fiscal deficit. It'd be a huge win.
I think that's a great issue. Now, I know a lot of that's a very like contentious issue because, you know, I could already hear the Texas Coalition Against Bitcoin Mining freaking out about that, about all the intentional climate change. Because like the benefit to these climate activist groups with the way the mining is working right now, this is very centralized, so they're able to, you know, target these, you know, entities like Riot and Marathon very easily. But if you distribute the hash rate and you subsidize the distribution of the hash rate instead of subsidizing the centralization of it, that spreads out intentional climate change to the point where, you know, it's kind of untenable to even, you know, try and contend with.
It is also better for the climate. Instead of heating up Texas, which is already too hot, you know, you can move some of that climate change to Canada and give them milder winters. I think everybody there would be happy about that.
Yeah. I agree. I don't have a lot of hope for Canada. I mean, they've taken a very strong stance against intentional climate change over the last few years and targeting pleb miners.
Well, you know, I share the same skepticism of Canada, but, you know, there's been some really bad results in snap elections that Justin Trudeau has called. And it looks like, you know, the momentum is swinging, like, Canada could have a Bitcoiner president or prime minister in the next few years if Pierre Poilievre could pull it off.
I imagine
Trump and Poilievre both in office at the same time. Like, what a huge bullish, you know, turn for North America. Sanson now is getting Mexico to make Bitcoin their legal tender. El Salvador. I mean, we could flip the whole northwestern hemisphere in a matter of less than a decade.
I think, you know, Canada has a few fundamental issues that the U.S. doesn't. that is really setting them back from, you know, getting to the point where it's possible.
Lack of diversity is one.
What is it? Biodiversity?
Lack of diversity. It's everybody's blight up there.
Yeah. Maybe.
Well, I mean, yours, though.
Mine are, number one, you know, they're still subservient to the British crown.
Yeah.
They never had their non-compliance day. And I think that's kind of like step number one. I know that it takes a lot of work to get to the point. You know, not everybody is born an American like us, you know, with freedom and non-compliance in our veins. It's something, you know, people have to learn to adopt. But the second part of the issue here is that they don't have their own Dennis Porter yet that I've seen.
That's big. That's a big handicap.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have somebody lobbying for you,
they have Francis, but he fled the country.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what Francis is doing. I mean, he's all bullish on liquid. You know, shilling a protocol that nobody ever uses.
And he was shilling. He was simping Jack Dorsey today too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, he said that I'd have to find the tweet, but I'll find it.
I'm going to pull up mempool.space to look at what's going on Liquid and see how unimpressive it is.
Francis today, he tweeted, "I know very few people have had a more positive impact on Bitcoin than Jack Dorsey. I believe in him when it comes to doing what he thinks is best for Bitcoin and consider him, quote-unquote, on my side. I don't care to justify why to anybody, and he certainly doesn't owe an explanation to anyone."
Interesting. Wait, it looks like mempool.space took Liquid off their website, so you can't even see what's going on.
Well, that just might mean there's nothing going on Liquid.
Yeah, it wasn't worth the bandwidth covering zero transactions.
Wow, I can't believe Sat's transaction fees are so low.
Yeah, it's weird. It's almost like Orgel's wasn't as big of a deal as everybody thought it was. I know Udi was like trying to be ominous, you know, promising that we wouldn't be able to use the network to send a transaction here pretty soon. But I think he's just kind of, you know, shouting into the wind and doesn't really have anything up his sleeve. Like, he's kind of out of tricks.
And he's just spreading FUD.
Yeah,
they did take Liquid off. But their enterprise sponsor is still Blockstream.
It's really, I wonder why.
Maybe Kazuti was making fun of the lack of activity.
I bet it just wasn't worth the bandwidth.
Probably not.
Like, how else can you figure out what's going on? I mean, I'm going to have to spend some time trying to figure out, you know, how to navigate and see what's happening on the Liquid blockchain now that mempools.space doesn't have that. I think that's kind of a breaking story that we just kind of stumbled across here.
Now, hold on. If you look at the bottom of the page, under networks, it has the Liquid Explorer. At least has a link to it. So at least that link is there.
I'm not seeing. Oh, yeah. Liquid Explorer.
Well, mempool.space and liquid.network are not, they're not working. They're down right now for me, so.
Yeah, I mean, all these blocks that are going through have one transaction in them. So there's like one transaction happening per minute. On like one to two transactions, there's a few of these blocks that have two in them. So yeah, I think, you know, the story here is nobody's using Liquid, even though Francis is shilling it. Nobody's using it still.
Not even Aqua Wallet users.
Do you think that means that nobody's actually using Aqua Wallet?
I think the proof is in the pudding right there on the network activity.
People prefer custodial lightning. At the end of the day, that's the thing.
It's completely true. I mean, maybe I think this might, you know, be the fate of eCash. I think there's a lot of hype, but there's not a lot of real evidence that anybody's actually using it.
Well, it's So we're coming up to we're going to be going to Orgel's Magazine conference. It's coming up here real soon. I just wanted to touch on this real quick before we get over to the Fountain Boost. It seems like politics is going to be replacing Orgel's as the center discussion.
I think it already is.
I wonder if Orgel's Magazine is going to rebrand to Politics Magazine.
Yeah, they're trying to take on CNN.
That would be...
I mean, think about it. Think about political news about Joe Biden, Donald Trump, AOC, Dennis Porter, taxes, regulation, the war in Ukraine, but all from a Bitcoin perspective. I think that's what we need, or at least I think... that's going to be what we get.
I think David Bailey is trying to attempt to be the next Rupert Murdoch.
Wow. I didn't think about that angle. Now the signs are there.
Yeah, I mean, like, what would the rebrand? Would it be called Politics Magazine?
I mean, Bitcoin Magazine, Ordinals Magazine, Politics Magazine. Why not? I don't think anybody else has taken that name. It's too obvious.
I think there's a pretty bright future for their... for them doing that. I mean, imagine if they brought Dennis Porter on as a political commentator. What type of numbers they would do. That's the type of thing that I think the plebs, you know, could send their grandmas to watch and they would enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's going to be a whole new generation of orange-pilled grandmas that are going to want to watch news all day.
We just kind of like blasted through all these topics real quick. You have anything else you want to chat about before we get into the Fountain Boost?
No, I don't think so. I think that I wanted to reiterate how important I think it is the Bitcoin Reformation is taking place. And I think that it's still early, but I think that there's this room for like the intellectual Silk Road and the Bitcoin Reformation. There's a lot of opportunity to collaborate there. So I'll be interested in watching those developments.
I agree. I mean, like, I feel kind of a kindred spirit with Clint Icarus because, you know, we're here, you know, launching a news reformation at the same time that he is launching a, you know, Bitcoin reformation. And I think those two things kind of happening simultaneously are really important.
Yeah, I totally agree.
All right, well, on to the Fountain Boost. So we all eat boosted us 20,000 sats twice with the same comp. Oh, wait, no. The messages are slightly different. So I'll read both of them. I think this is a mistake, but appreciate the double boost. More of you should do this accidentally to us. If you accidentally double boost us, it'd be much appreciated. But we all eat says, absolutely. I need some non-KYC cigs while getting yelled at by the HOA president for popping off fireworks. Comply for NGU. Happy 4th, you beagle-blowing motherfuckers. Well, happy 4th to you as well, we all. The second one says, I need some non-KYC cigs while getting yelled at by the neighbor for fireworks. Damn, HOAs comply with the rules for NGU. Yeah, I mean, HOAs and neighbors, they don't always appreciate the non-compliant antics on the 4th of July. And it's just one of these things that, you know, if you're living in America, that you have to understand is that the 4th of July is all about non-compliance and there's nothing you can do about it. And like, if you don't support that, if you don't support non-compliance on the 4th of July, then you know, we'll help you pack your bags, and you can move to Canada.
Right. The reason that the domesticated dogs rather than wolves, and even, you know, many military veterans, bay fireworks is because fireworks represent non-compliance on the 4th of July. And it just drives them crazy. So understand that not everybody's going to get it. But it is your fundamental right as an American to blow shit up and smoke down KYC cigarettes on the 4th of July. So don't let it stop you.
Like, you know, all these cat ladies, and like, I think it's different, you know, with the military veterans, you know, not liking the fireworks. That's a whole different story than, you know, the yuppie cat lady. who's got a stick up her ass and doesn't appreciate freedom. They have to understand and accept that their house is just going to reek of secondhand cigarette smoke and gunpowder, and there's nothing that they're going to be able to do about it.
That's right. Molan later.
One thing that was beautiful, I saw satellite imagery of the United States on the 4th of July, and there was just a cloud of smoke hanging over the entire country from the combination of the non-compliant smoking and
the fireworks.
And the fireworks.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I saw it. It was beautiful. Brought a tear to my eye.
Yeah.
Our next post is from user 833-06-501. It's just 20,000 sats. Didn't say anything, but thank you for the boost.
We keep on having all these girls boost us. The user is kind of like a cypherpunk looking green haired.
Yeah, she's boosted before. Yeah.
I bet she actually looks like that in real life, too. The next one is Miss Huddle Not 420. You're secret in my, not so secret in my. He says, I plan on smoking this 4th of July. I can only dream of being as non-compliant as you fine journalists. How can I acquire non-KYC cigarettes is still uncertain to me. Any suggestions? There's a few ways to acquire them. There's sites like Local Cigarettes. There's platforms like Bisc. You know, I've been pressuring them to actually support the sale of peer-to-peer cigarettes on there, but they haven't been very receptive or open to it yet, which is just kind of alarming and shocking to me. But I started doing before I knew anybody is I would go on Bisc and I would reach out to these people and try to facilitate these peer-to-peer Bitcoin transactions, and I would I asked them if they had any cigarettes for sale as well. And so that might be a good way to start transacting that way. But ultimately it comes down to building trust in a community around you, people that create this network, and there's these black markets that form all over the place, As long as people know there's a demand for it, there will ultimately be a supply for it. And so that's one of the big ones. And that's what I'm trying to do. And I'm trying to educate people on the demand side for non-KYC cigarettes as much as possible, so that the supply side will catch up.
You should get a ticket. You should come to Ordinals Magazine Conference in Nashville in a few weeks. And if we finally meet, I'll sell you your first non-KYC cigarette, custodial lightning wallet to custodial lightning wallet. So maybe it's a date. We'll see. Our next boost is from 8MythRander. 8MythRander, excuse me. It's a profile picture of a chimp. And they boosted us 7,777 sats. Their comment, people for debt, our founders were terrorists. And, as the saying goes, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. So, depending on how you look at it, you're right.
Yeah, it all comes down to who is the one writing the history books. And in this case, we are the ones writing the history books. It's the Bitcoin podcasters that are documenting what's happening right now. And, we are the victors. Bitcoin has won. And so therefore, I don't know if the word terrorist is, really one that we're going to use when we're writing the history books. I think we're more going to use freedom fighter.
Absolutely.
Thanks for the boost. MythRender. That's a cool name. I like that. Next boost is from Orange Mart for 5,000 sats, and who asks, who would win a celebrity cage match at the Bitcoin conference? Nick Rising Star Carter or Richard Greaser? I thought about throwing my name in the hat. I saw Nick Carter's tweet about, you know, C-list influencer, and that kind of ruled out my interest in participating in the event because I'm not a C-list influencer. I'm a tier A journalist. And so I didn't really meet his requirements. I actually exceeded them. I was too credentialed to take the fight. But if he ever raised his expectations as what his opponent, you know, would look like. And part of the reason is he's relatively new to the fight game. So I think he's trying to get, you know, some fights under his belt before he starts taking on the heavyweights like myself. But I think it would be a pretty interesting competitive fight. And one of the edges I have on Nick is he's 100% a vapor, which is just like most beta thing ever.
Yeah, I don't think that a vapor has ever submitted or defeated a real cigarette smoker, you know, in combat. Our next page is from Quiet Warrior at QW. This says 3,000 stats, and his comment was "fuck yeah," which, you know, 4th of July, non-compliance day, that's all that needs to be said. Fuck yeah.
I like QW and those guys at Plug Chain. Cool guys. I mean, you made that ad for them. That was really great that they played on the show this week.
Yeah. We should maybe include the ad in our shit too.
Yeah. I'll put it at the beginning.
So yeah, the ad we're talking about is the one at the beginning of this episode. That's what we're talking about.
Next one is Rev Hoddle for 21 sats. He says, and that's full two cigarettes right there. Says, proving yet again that permanent money creates permanent culture all through the lines of proper credential journalism. Bitcoin is thermodynamically sound. Permaculture is thermodynamically sound culture. Huh. Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely a lot of overlaps between credential journalism and permaculture. And that's a pretty interesting topic that maybe we should explore further on the show at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I follow Red Hoddle on Noster, and I see him in some of the intellectual Silk Road and adjacent Telegram chats. He's got some interesting things to say. You should definitely check him out.
I don't think I follow Rev Hoddle. I'm looking for him right now.
There's two Rev Hoddles on Noster. Make sure you follow the right one. I think the Rev Hoddle you're looking for is like his picture is one of the guys from the 300 movie.
Let's see. I think it's. Are you sure it's not the one with looks like it's got cannabis as like the.
Oh yeah, an idiot's change. Yeah, that's probably him.
Four.
Nice. Our next news is from Blizzah, BLIZZH. Based at 1,000 sats. The comment was, this should be enough for KYC Marlboro Red. Yeah, it should be. It should be. Could spend it on a non-KYC Marlboro Red, but appreciate the boost.
Yeah, the problem with like the KYC cigarette market is they don't let you purchase single cigarettes. And so, but that's why the only solution is to go to the non-KYC market. The next one is from Pies for 420 sats. He says, this is the last one, actually. He says, dope intro song. Thank you very much, Pies. Put a lot of work into that one. I think, like, you know, it's important to use music to articulate these ideas, and the song, you know, that opened up last week's show, Non-Compliant 1776, is just, you know, what I was trying to do with that was I was trying to depict, you know, the peak of what is to be American, which is to be non-compliant. And it's good to hear that, you know, some people really appreciated that. Well, yeah, and that wraps up, Boosh. You got any final thoughts, for the listeners?
No, I think we covered it all today. So thanks for the boost and, thanks for the feedback.
Last thing I'll say, apologize for going a little bit over the top with my non-compliance. I have recovered. I am you know, still stay in the course of being non-compliant, but, you know, I'm pacing myself a little bit more.
We need you to pace yourself. Keep reporting credentialed news.
100%. Well, I'll be here. We'll have the next show out on time next week. That's the plan. All right. Well, thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of the Bugle Weekly. We apologize for publishing the show late. The dissident pleb is on the rise, and the intellectual Silk Road is flourishing, despite PodConf's attempts to waste everyone's time with politics, just like they did with Ordinals. The future is bright, and the people are non-compliant. You are not alone out there, so keep your chin up. The Bugle Weekly is the most credentialed podcast out there. Thanks again for tuning in and boosting the show, and we will see you next week.
Is looking bleak. My heart aches for more. I can't get any sleep. Awake in my bed, I toss and turn, thinking of the future. Why can't society just learn to listen to more Robert Breed love? I need a Prince Charming to save me from my depression. A man whose full-time job is listening to Bitcoin podcasts. When we lay in bed at night, I want him to explain to me thermodynamics and whisper the things that he heard Saylor say romantically in my ear. I don't care if he has talent or money. All I care is he listens to Lynn Alden. As long as he has 1 million sats on his cold card, I know the future is secured. I want a house in Nashville with a white picket fence, a husband who never misses an episode of what Bitcoin did. With his superior knowledge of the way the world works, I will bring him lots of kids. I need a Prince Charming to save me from my depression. A man whose full-time job is listening to Bitcoin podcasts. When we lay in bed at night, I want him to explain to me thermodynamics and whisper the things that he heard Saylor say romantically in my ear. His YouTube feed will be filled with hopium. That way he will never be depressed. I need the security of someone who is bullish, even when the world is a mess. When I grow up, I will find this man, most likely at the conference in Nashville. My full-time podcast listener is out there waiting to ride off with me into the sunset. Fairy godmother, make this dream come true. If it's the last wish you grant me, oh, give me a reason to live, a man to live.